الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين، فمن أقامها فقد أقام الدين، ومن تركها فقد هدم الدين، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected elders, brothers and friends in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the most perfect of all religions. Every aspect of our deen has perfection in it. When it comes to our ibadat also, the way we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is also perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us salah. Many a time you will hear a lecture on salah, and the thought will cross your mind that we have heard this before, but we need to think to ourselves that I am reading salah for 50 years, for 20 years. Has my salah improved? Always, when we are in any field of this world, we always want to see improvement. A person in the business field, he has made for this year a certain amount of profit. He wants to see it doubled, tripled next year. When it comes to the fitness of a person, he is, for example, maybe he's on a diet. This month he has lost so much of weight. Next month he wants to see more improvement. But when it comes to our deen, when it comes to the amal of deen, then nobody is concerned. In fact, some ulama mention that a person, if one day is the same as the next day, then let alone progressing, he is retrogressing. If his today is the same as yesterday, then instead of progressing, he is retrogressing. He is going backwards. For deen, we always have to look above us. For dunya, we look at those below us. This will keep us in check. That is why this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when it comes to matters of the deen, then a person must have his gaze on those who are more pious than him, those who are above him. And when it comes to things of this world, then look at those below you, then you will appreciate the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nonetheless, the salah we are reading, is it of the standard which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants? Is it, number one, accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And is it according to how Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want us to perform it? There was a conference of some ulama some time back, and amongst them was one of our Pakistani ulama, Maulana Muhammad Ahmad. And they were discussing that the decline of the ummah and what can be done to improve the ummah. So many of the ulama gave their opinions. Some said, no, there is a lack of ilm. We need to empower the ummah with ilm of deen, with knowledge of deen. Others gave different opinions. We need to equip the ummah and train the ummah. So nonetheless, when it came to his turn to speak, he said, everything is in its place. But if you want a solution to the problem, and if you want the Muslims to gain dominance and victory over the entire world, then Allah gives the prescription in the Quran that those who have iman and who have good actions, we will give them the inheritance of the world. They will have the control of the world. So they told him, yes, that this is the ayat of the Quran, but this is a very long process. We want something that is very quick. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us salah. Sometimes we think that the salah is of benefit to the akhirat, but it will bring nothing in this world for us. This is a very grave misconception of ours. Salah is such a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When salah became compulsory and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gifted salah, then the sahaba became overjoyed that now we have something to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have some means to draw from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of us here has some problem in their life. It is not such that a person is problem free. He has no problem in his life. Allah himself says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Whether the person is rich or poor, he has a problem in his life, definitely. Allah says, we will certainly test you. Sometime in your life, you will have fear, hunger, you will lose something. You will perhaps have a relative or wife or child that will pass away. نَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Maybe you had a nice factory, big factory, and something went wrong. So you will be tested in some way in your life. And then Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Glad tidings to those who are patients. Patient. And another ayah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek Allah's assistance, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. With patience and salah. Rasulullah's condition was, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. When anything perturbed him, when anything caused some problem in his life, then immediately turn to salah. And this is how he trained sahaba also. That any problem, turn to salah. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is not a means only of securing our akhirat. That is there in its place. But it is also a means, a yaqini sabab. A means which has, we have conviction in, that will solve the problem of this world. We should understand that the amal of deen, the actions which are prescribed to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they bring benefit first in this world, cash benefit in this world. Normally when a person becomes sick, generally our mind goes to the medication or to the doctors. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi has given us prescriptions even before this, and that cure your sick people through sadaqah. Make up some water source available for people, you will find that they will become cured very quickly. So nonetheless, salah is a great, great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to see whether our salah is correct. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, has mentioned in his Fadail Amal that the condition of our salah is such that when a person goes into ruku, from there he's going into sajda. There is not even standing up, and from there he's going to sajda. So he has no qoma in his salah, and there is no concentration in his salah. That salah which is performed in that way, to laffu kama yulaffu thawb al-khaliq, is wrapped up like a dirty rag. It doesn't even go above his head. No acceptance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yudrabu bihi fi wajhi, and is thrown back onto his face. And then the salah curses him after that. ضَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا ضَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah destroy you as you have destroyed me. And then he mentions that the Muslims are in problems throughout the world. And he says it's because of our own salah. The Muslims are in problems throughout the world. It is because of our own salah. So we have to check our salah. Is it according to the way that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want us to read our salah? There are a few common mistakes which we will quickly go through, to see whether our salah is correct and to try and correct that salah. Is that number one, many of us, Allah forgive us, is that we do not even start salah. One is we know we have to make the intention and we know we have to say Allahu Akbar. But none of us, many of us, rather many musallis, you will find that they do not say Allahu Akbar. They come and stand, face the Qibla, they raise their hands and they fold their hands. There is no movement of the lips at all. Now this is not salah. There are so many unfortunate people who for years they are reading salah, but because of no movement of the lips, the salah has not even begun. Now you can well imagine the condition of that person on the day of Qiyamah, when he comes in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. First thing to be taken account on the day of Qiyamah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salah. If the salah is correct, everything will go smoothly. If the salah is found wanting, then things will go in the opposite way for that person. Now if from the beginning his salah has not even begun, then you can well imagine what will happen. So the first thing is that a person has to say the takbir. He has to say Allahu Akbar. And like this also the qiraat that takes place in salah. Due to non-movement of the lips, a person's qiraat is not even done. So he starts his salah, maybe he's reading himself, and he raises his hand and folds his hands, and then he begins to go through the surah Fatiha in his mind. And like this, the surah in his mind, he goes into ruku, mouth is sealed, everything in the mind. This is not recitation of Quran, and this is not salah. So this is the first mistake, which is very, very common, that our salah has not begun yet. So we should try and make it a habit that consciously, when we're starting our salah, say the takbir, Allahu Akbar. Ulama fuqaha mentioned that it must be said to such an extent that you can hear yourself and the person next to you cannot hear you. And some go to the extent that they say if they know there is no sound coming out from your mouth, then that is not qiraat also. But there is another opinion that as long as your mouth is moving, your lips are moving, that will constitute qiraat and that will constitute takbir and your salah is begun and your qiraat is done. So this is the first common mistake that we will find in the salah of people, that their salah is not even beginning. Thereafter, secondly, one of the very important aspects of salah is itminan, as we will term composure in salah. A sahabi comes into the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he begins his salah and he reads it, but he reads it a little bit quickly. There's no composure in his salah. And thereafter he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he makes salam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies to his salam and he tells him, one riwayat has, قُمْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ إِرْجِعْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Go and read salah, you haven't read salah. So he goes back. He does it again. And he comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam again tells him, إِرْجِعْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Go back and read salah, you haven't read salah. He does it for a third time and he comes back. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the same thing. Then he says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teach me, I do not know how to read salah. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to him that every posture of yours has to be done with ease, with total composure. You have to be relaxed in each posture. That is why I've mentioned above also before that Hazrat Shaykh mentions that our sajda is like the pecking of a crow. We go in and out of sajda like that. So then Rasulullah ﷺ explains to him that in your salah everything must be composure. That when you go into ruku, and when you come up from ruku, حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ قَائِمًا, Nabi ﷺ tells him, until you are in a state of itminan. Fuqaha have mentioned that what is itminan is that a person minimum, he must stand up or stay in each posture for the minimum of duration of one tasbih, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So when you go into ruku and you come back out of ruku, that position is called the qawma position. Now that position we find many people, they are hardly up, they hardly come up from ruku and they already gone back down into sajda. So your body must come at a total rest for the duration of Subhana Rabbi al-A'la or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. That is why there are du'as to be recited. If a person recites the du'a in a relaxed manner, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, then that's sufficient. But besides that, there are so many other du'as that Rasulullah s.a.w. recited, whether it is in ruku, in sajda, in qawma, in jalsa, that if we only learn these du'as, we will find enjoyment in our salah. So one du'a we can learn, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ. If we read this du'a minimum, then inshallah we will find that our qawma will be correct also. Then a person goes into sajda. Sajda, everyone is reading some tasbih, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. If you read it, in the correct manner, inshallah, we'll find that our sajda will also be correct. One hadith mentions the worst thief is that person who steals from his salah. His ruku and sajda is not correct. And then the other posture, which people do very quickly, is the jalsa posture. Between the two sajdas. In between the two sajdas, that sitting posture is called the jalsa posture. That also, because we have not learnt any dua, then we find that that just goes away. We just come out from ruku, sajda, and go back into the next sajda. There is another beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in this posture, if we recite, the posture will become correct, the salah will also become correct. The dua is, Allahumma ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. What a beautiful dua. Oh Allah, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Give me afiyat. Who is not looking for afiyat today? That there are so many problems, sicknesses cropping up, and there's so much of insecurity. You're asking Allah for afiyat. That when I wake up in the morning every day, everything must be salim. That I must wake up with good health. Wahdini, ya Allah, guide me. And also rizq, warzuqni. Give me sustenance. So beautiful dua. If we implement it in our salah, the quality of our salah will be increased also. So this is the second thing in our salah. That our salah has to be done with total composure. In fact, many mashayikh were such that from the time of adhan, they used to present themselves in the masjid and they used to relax their bodies. That the time of salah comes, that they are totally at ease. Just 1 or 2 minutes extra is not going to cause us any taklif. So this is the second thing we can take note of. The first is that we have to say the takbir. The second is ensure that our salah is with total composure, total ease. Then we find that there is no concentration in our salah. Allah mentions in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The believers are successful, those that have khushu in their salah. Khushu means devotion and concentration. Many a time we come for salah, but our mind is far away from salah. That we are thinking of everything else besides salah. Salah is direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, one hadith mentions that when a person begins his salah, and he starts his surah Fatiha, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying to him in that surah. He's saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah, the Rabb of the entire, all the worlds. Allah in reply to this says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. Then he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says, Athna Alayya Abdi. Then he says, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majjadani Abdi. And then he says, Ihdina As-Sirat Al-Mustaqim, Wa Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een. And then Allah says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. This is between me and my slave. The surah Fatiha, the beginning of it is hamd and thana, praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The end portion of it is dua. So firstly, my slave has praised me, then he's asking me for something. وَهَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. This is for my slave and whatever he asks, I have given him. So it's communication with Allah. We have to develop concentration. So that is why ulama say that minimum min our salah, in every posture, try and think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least 3 times. We will fulfill the haqq of concentration. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. There's so much more to say regarding our salah, how to correct it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the salah of each and every person correct, such that he is able to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is pleased with him. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.